So there's a global pandemic. A virus is sweeping across our world, still, and society has changed. Why is this happening? Is a vaccine going to get to those that need it fast enough? Why can't some people just wear a damn mask? Is this just what life is like now? If you've considered these questions, well, you will soon. I will be here with you, your personal guides on this journey. This descent into chaos. Thank you for joining us on Sterigate Goats.
I really love the exasperated sigh right there at the end, because that says everything. Welcome, everybody, to another tragically continuing episode of Staring at Goats, episode 40.
40, baby.
40. Blech, that's like 42 weeks of this bull crap. But we're here. I'm your host, Steven, joined as always by other host, Jacob.
Woo-woo!
And other host, TV's Travis. We're all here together today. If you're listening to this, it's important to note that today was an impactful day. And I said this before we started the stream, but I feel like audio listeners need the same clarification that if you're triggered by any sort of talk of insurrection, you just be mindful that we might dip our toe into that pool, but I doubt it. I mean, I believe in all of us to be professionals. but we're going to try and... Travis, what did you say earlier was Staring at Goats was for you today?
Oh, it is a nice respite from the craziness. Talking about a pandemic is a nice change of pace.
Yeah,
for today. Let's put it that way.
It's a distraction.
It brings to mind all kinds of things that you didn't expect to say in 2020/2021. Boy, I can't wait to just talk about a global disease again. That feels good. It's been a weird day. We're 6 days into 2021, and it has shown us there are aftershocks. For every home run, there's a I don't know what's the opposite of a home run, a grounder to first, where you're just automatically out. That feels worst.
The best description I heard was so far 2021 is just 2020 with bangs.
That's pretty good. That's
kind of is.
I brought this up in Discord. Is 2021, I mean, is this just the new normal? Are we just living in a crazy ass world right now where it doesn't matter if it's 2020 or 2021? It's insanity.
I try to be optimistic about it. I think that there are seasons of crap and that can come. I mean, go back to go 100 years ago to the 1920s. Like, you had a pretty major global pandemic then with the flu. And then later in that decade, you had a complete economic collapse because somebody wanted to go get all their money out of the bank, and the bank said, well, we don't have any. That was bad. So, back from that. It only took a massive global war to put us back on top, but, one could say these things go in seasons, and it's been a long time since we've had a complete, utter failure. You know, like, we've been chugging along, with little speed bumps, some bigger speed bumps, but, like, there's been just a total collapse. Kind of witnessed. Maybe. I don't know. I'm also not old enough to have remembered the great gas crisis of the 1970s and such, so I don't know what the extent
the
of all that was.
Yeah, the mortgage crisis, interest rates were 22% for a mortgage.
Sure. Yeah. That's why our parents say we should be grateful for our 3%. Like, back when I bought a house, it was 35% interest.
This is true.
But your house $8,000.
Yeah, we did go through major recession in 2008, 2009. A lot of people losing houses, all that kind of stuff. 9/11 was 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. Or almost.
Yeah, that was
years
a big
ago
one.
Now.
20 years ago this year.
Yeah. But then you kind of felt like there was a focus and a target to shoot for. But again, maybe I'm showing my age. I was too young to really get that there was a whole lot of crisis. It was a crisis. Believe me, that's the last thing I want to downplay. But it seemed handled. Seemed like it was a crisis that was handled. or being handled. Whether you like the way it was handled or not, it was being handled. This was just like a complete throw your hands up and walk away and just take my ball and go home.
So do you believe that those days were defined by not a trust in leadership, but a understanding that leadership was going to be the one that we relied on to steer us in at least a direction that could get us out of those troubled waters? Because right now, I believe what we're defined by is by a period of time where leadership is willing to say, you know, F it. Let's see where this ends up. Let's just see where it ends up. Or do you think maybe those times we felt like, yeah, you know, I don't necessarily agree with all the policies, but I think this person is going to be able to handle the job of leadership in the correct way?
It's hard to say, because some of it that we have leadership that isn't as good as it was? Is some of that hindsight looking back at the leadership that it was? Is some of it that we have access to more information than we did 15, 20, 25, 30 years ago to know more about these leaders and the crap that goes on that we just didn't know about before? So yes, I would say to all of those things. It's tough. It's really tough. And I am certainly not qualified to speak intelligently on the matter, but I can certainly gas bag if you want me to.
Stuff. We can follow the lead of mainstream folks and just say the teleprompter things that are in front of us that feels good. It feels like the right thing to say at the time, but I don't think any of us want to do that. I think we're all relatively thoughtful folks that say what we think, but oftentimes also think about what we say. You know, either after the fact or during. Hence my constant, I'm going to make a statement and then I'm going to roll around in it for 5 minutes on microphone until I feel like I've made it make sense. So rather than do that, we can talk about things that we know about. And those things are our own lives and our own experience of the last week dealing with the continued pandemic that still exists, even though you wouldn't know it today. It's the last thing anyone is talking about, but we're going to talk about it because I saw a lot of no masks on TV, and I'm expecting that to once again be a problem. But we'll start. I don't remember who we started with last night, but Jacob, why don't you tell us what's on your mind?
Yeah, well, I mean, clearly what's on my mind are treasonous acts, but I'm going to try to avoid hitting on
good
those
job
too much today.
Good. You really did it there. You really just completely bob and weaved around that one.
There we go. So I say we go back to basics. Let's talk about COVID and let's talk about what are the numbers and what are they telling us, right? So yesterday in North Carolina, our 7-day rolling average was 7,302 new cases. 7,302 new cases. And over 80 people died in the state of North Carolina yesterday. I remember back in the days when 1,500, that was a lot of cases, right? And, you know, 15 or 20 people were dying. We're like, damn, we are in trouble. We hit that now every 5 hours. If you look at the United States as a whole yesterday had 215,000 cases, new cases. And over 2,600 deaths in a day. And I think back to April and I go, 3,000. We were talking about that going, oh, fuck. Where are we going to be if this gets worse? This is going to be off. But again, we're hitting those numbers at 30,000 in like 4 hours. And I think about those kind of numbers. And I want to make sure that it's clear to everybody. Right this very minute, we are in the worst part of this pandemic. The viral spread in our community is out of control, period. End of discussion. I think everybody needs to understand that. 215,000 new cases every day in the United States. 2,600 people are dying every day in the United States. It's out of control. And we're right on the verge of receiving this wonderful panacea vaccine that we've been begging for, this light at the end of the tunnel, and it's right there at our grasps. And why we are not electing to be more diligent in the 11th hour, I just don't understand it. So I'm looking at this going, let's get back to the basics here. Let's wear a mask. Let's wait. So our wait 6 feet or try to space out 6 feet and wash your hands. The three W's. We've talked about them a lot over the last year. Let's practice them. Let's finish this off in the best possible way that we could finish this off until everybody gets vaccinated. A few more months, we can potentially get it out to the mainstream public. And then we can start talking about pulling ourselves out of this in the best way possible. But right now, the numbers don't lie. They are the worst that they have ever been since the beginning of this pandemic. So there, that's kind of what's on my mind. The second thing on my mind, you know, the stock market, it continues to be bulletproof. I mean, we've got a global pandemic in our face that's worse. We've got payroll numbers going down. We've got a blue wave coming over Congress and the executive branch. We've got armed militia showing up in the congressional chambers. We've got all of these things happening, and the stock market goes up and sets a new record. So congratulations, the stock market is absolutely bulletproof. So there's going to be an epic bubble burst sometime soon, but
who knows? The weed stocks are high.
They are, baby.
They are high.
And
you know, last
blame them.
Last week, I talked to a buddy of mine. I was like, I should get into weed stocks. I was like the cat with the newspaper. I should look at weed stocks. He said, this is how you do it, and this is what you buy. And I was like, oh, cool. You actually have info. I did none of that. Weed stocks are up 20% today. So I just love punching myself in the nuts with stock market practices every time I have a good idea. I'm like, I should do that. Whatever. I don't understand money, so that probably doesn't help me at all. But yeah, Jacob, as far as all your we should back down, you can tell all that to the bald eagle I got tattooed on my back. Because I'm freedom, baby.
Freedom, baby.
Freedom. So, are you good? Are you done?
No,
you
don't have to be done. That's all I got. I mean, it's let's go back to the numbers.
So this morning I got upset at the Facebook. Like Hulk level fury at the Facebook. To the point that I went on Twitter and said people without masks are just selfish buttholes, and if you don't like it, unfollow me because you're a butthole. I've got no patience for you. I've got no time for your arguments. I don't like you. I hope you find Jesus, get out of my life. This is basically my approach at this point. So I go on to Facebook and I see somebody post this post about, if you don't believe in COVID, why don't you come volunteer down at the hospital and help transfer patients and transfer dead patients and tell family members their family member is dead and all that. Why don't you go ahead and volunteer, get down here and participate. For one thing, the image was doctored, and I don't know, it was two nurses holding up a piece of paper. Don't hold up a piece of paper on the internet. People erase what you wrote and put their own stuff there. I did it to Michelle Obama, and she promoted horseshoes and hand grenades for us once, because it's stupid. That being said, the point was made. Fine. So someone I know, who I know does not like wearing masks, came along and said, well, think twice. The majority of people don't think COVID doesn't exist. They acknowledge it exists and can be deadly for those who are older and overweight or have underlying health conditions. However, you can think those things and still acknowledge it's been overblown by the media and used for political purposes to strip away individual freedoms. Which we all know, it's putting a mask on your face is not stripping away your freedom. You can still go to the strip club and wear a mask. You can still buy beer and wear a mask. You can still buy a gun and wear a mask. You can still yell at the top of your lungs at the state capitol building and wear a mask, though I see you choose not to. Anyway, I posted a thing because I got real ticked off, and I was like, here's how many people are dead in the U.S. alone. Here's how many people got killed by the flu last year. All you have to do is wear a mask. I said, it's not oppression. It's about protecting the people around us who are susceptible, who do have comorbidities, and who we put in danger by behaving recklessly. I said, I probably won't die, but in the time between me getting it and getting diagnosed with it, how many people would have unknowingly endangered? And that referenced the conference where 100 people led to 300,000 cases via contact tracing. And then we were searching. You and I were, you guys and I were searching for someone who would argue the point. And it all comes down, and I tried to find, like, it all comes down to, for them, this person, government mandates are bad. Okay. He said, I have no problem with the masks. If a business makes a decision to force a customer to wear a mask, then either wear a mask or don't go there. It's pretty simple. I went out this weekend and wore my mask. However, I happen to know that if he doesn't want to wear a mask and the store says you don't have to, he doesn't. Which is also a problem because you are supposed to look out for people whether the store tells you to or not. And he brings up good points we've talked about before. Suicide and mental health issues have suffered or have grown and people have suffered due to loneliness and isolation. I think that is perfectly valid as an argument. It's not an argument that you should run around and do whatever the devil you want, but it is an argument that people in the community should find the people who need that help and find ways to spend time with them in a safe manner and also reach out and get them groceries or do whatever they can do to help. The problem is some of these people in isolation don't reach out for help and suffer in silence. That's an entirely different conversation. But he said, there's not a perfect solution. Although we can do our part, I believe we aren't in control. I think it's important for my family to go to the gym, eat healthy, take vitamins, and live our lives and get social interaction. That doesn't mean we are being dangerous. If you're doing it without a mask, it does. I think if everyone is mandated to take vitamins, stop smoking, eat healthy, and work out, it would save lives also. I also believe that it's not the government's role to dictate. Thankfully, I haven't gotten the virus. So I haven't spread it to anyone. Fingers crossed this goes away in time. But the thing is, there's a lot we can do. You know, that we've talked about this, flatten the curve. It was a movement back in March and April. Flatten the curve was a thing that we believed in, that we set out to accomplish, and we did it enough that people went, oh, we did it pretty well. Look at what we did. It's been 2 weeks. There's only like 500 cases today. I'm going to go out and party. But it's not how it works. In this kind of mentality, like, I don't disagree with some of his statements, but I disagree with it on the whole. That I don't have any control over the situation, so I'm just going to wear a mask where I have to and not wear a mask where I don't and cross my fingers it goes away. That kind of stuff irritates me. I'm just tired of that argument that I don't have any control over my own health. Shoot, Jacob, when's the last time you were sick?
I don't even remember.
I haven't been sick since March. Travis, when were you last sick?
2017.
So, okay, well, you're extreme example.
Maybe.
But
yeah, he's unbreakable over there. He's Bruce Willis with his bald head, unbreakable.
Sam used to be sick at least once every month and a half. Sam hasn't been sick since March either. We have control over our health. We have way more control than we ever thought we did. And wearing a mask when I go out has taught me that. I don't know that I will continue doing that because at some point I do want to reveal my face. You know, but I think that the argument that there isn't any control is complete bullcrap, and we have it. And I don't know where I'm going with all this other than I found someone who upset me and I told them shove it up their butt and wear their mask and stop trying to downplay every report that says this is bad. And I got done with the internet today.
And I have to say, so his reasoning was I should be able to go to the gym, eat food, take my vitamins, and that's going to be healthy for me. Mm-hmm. Taking vitamins and eating food has nothing to do with leaving the house. And if the gym is that important to you and it's actually the working out that's important, get some home gym equipment and do it there. It's not that. It's I got to go to a place and compare myself to other people.
You're very well could be right. Some people don't have the room for home gym equipment, but there are tons of home body weight exercises you can do. There are tons of exercise. I'm getting one of those pull-up bars from my door. That does a lot for you. Sit-ups do a lot for you. Running does a lot for you. A
bar and a backpack full of books.
Sure.
Some milk jugs, some empty milk jugs, fill them with water. You can use those to lift weights. Like, there's plenty of ways to do it. People just don't want to put in the effort. They just want to be able to say, no, I can go to the gym and use all this fancy equipment because that's the better way to do it. No, it's not. And that's not your point. So, yeah.
12-ounce curls. Maybe that's what I work on. I work on these guns with 12-ounce curls.
I'll drink to that.
Yeah. You ever seen a guy that a construction worker that does nothing but do the meth and work all day? They're ripped.
I had a conversation with somebody the other day. I used to work on a roofing crew. We had a guy that could walk across the roof with a bundle of shingles in each hand.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if either of you ever lifted a bundle of shingles, but I used to be able to carry two bundles of shingles on my shoulder using my back. This dude would pick them up like a couple of tacos and just walk around with it. The man had the grip of a gorilla. He didn't step foot in a gym once. So there's plenty of things you can do. Farmers are some of the strongest people you will ever meet.
Yeah, that's country boy strong. Those are those people that are throwing hay bales all
day long.
You
wouldn't know it because their muscles aren't like toned, ripped, huge. They just have they're very purpose built for what they do, and they're strong. I knew a dude. He was a beanpole. He could lift a friggin' parking cement block, carry it with him. Like what?
Yeah, bodybuilding muscle is very different from actual working muscle. If you've ever watched a strongman competition, you know that because those guys are built like 6'7" fire hydrants.
Yeah.
But they could crush your skull with one hand. You know, they're not these huge ripped guys. They're just bulky.
Yeah. So.
They can lift a smart car above their head and put it in the bed of my truck.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We're looking at you, maybe. Half Thor Jorgensen or whatever. What's the mountain's name? Half Thor Bjornsson?
Bjornsson.
Half Thor. That's so cool. Yeah. Anyway, I'm done. That was my blood pressure today.
That's yeah. You know what? Your day started off a lot like mine. So let me tell you a little story about my past week. About half a week. But Saturday morning, I get up to go do my regular biweekly platelet donation. They have me on the schedule through the next couple of months to go every 2 weeks and donate platelets. I go in, sit down. I'm doing the normal screening. My blood pressure is a little bit high. So like, well, we're not going to be able to do it today. Why don't you, we'll reschedule you. Come on back tomorrow. It was just barely over the threshold, but they're like, we got rules. No problem. Go to leave, walk out, start up the Jeep. No, doesn't start again. So
it's a Jeep. I don't know what you were expecting. Yeah.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Call a friend, get a ride, get it looked at. Figure out kind of what's going on with it. Fast forward a couple of days. This morning, it is get up and take it to the shop to get it looked at. So I wake up. I take off 8 o'clock in the morning, close the garage door, leave, go do the thing. My mom picks me up, gives me a ride home. I get back to the house and I notice that my garage door is not fully closed. I was like, oh, that's odd. I go and look, and my garage door, where the door opener attached to it, had just pulled itself apart. Turns out I did something wrong. I didn't put the right bracing on there. So the two little spot welds that hold those pieces of steel together just said, we're done, and ripped themselves apart.
We can't handle
this. So that was how my day started. By mid-afternoon, things took a turn. Now we're here. And it's just when you think things can't get worse, well, today is proof that they can. But you just got to keep swimming, really, is kind of what has to be done. Like you just have to. And doing a show like this or talking to you guys is something that helps. So that's why I'm here now. That's been my week. The other thing I did want to talk about was the weirdness I saw in the last week with the whole stimulus. The COVID stimulus stuff, because it just seemed like it was so much more disorganized than the first round of them 9 months ago, whatever it was. So many people talking about, well, I got it last time. I didn't get it this time. I got a different amount this time than I did last time or whatever it was. I didn't even know that they were sending them out. And somebody at work was asking if, you know, things were in people's bank accounts. And I was like, let me look. And I look, I'm like, I have money. I didn't even know what was happening.
Yeah.
So I don't know how it can be this much more disorganized 9 months later when it's all the same information going through what should have been going through the same channels and less dollar figures to deal with. So
I think I just thought that jumbled up into Christmas. because I feel like a lot of the information was last minute. It was signed last minute. It wasn't really before it was every, it was on the tip of everybody's tongue. I mean, we talked about the last stimulus ad nauseum. I mean, we talked about it for 3 or 4 or 5 straight weeks. This time, I don't even know if we brought it up on Staring at Goats. I mean, we might have brought it up in passing once or twice, but last time it was a part of our daily discussion or a weekly discussion. I'm just not sure that it was the same focus that was put on it. So for me, I'm not sure I saw any difference. I opened up my bank account one day. I was like, oh, man, got some extra cash.
Yeah, that's exactly how it was for me. I had no, because there was all the talk of, well, is it going to be $600? Is it going to be $2,000? Is it, it's going back and forth and back and forth. And then it was like, oh, and they've already sent it out. And then I talked to other people and they're like, yeah, I'm still waiting for it to even show up in ACH in my bank account. Or some people saying I'm being sent a paper check. Cause that's apparently still a thing in this country. all that kind of stuff. Like, I don't know. It was weird. So it's been a very strange last week. And that's saying something given the weeks that I had prior to that with work. This work week also tried my patience, but that's a whole other rant I could go on for a while. Let me just say that if I am talking to you and trying to help you with something and you interrupt me during my answer to ask the question that I am about to answer, you have officially and quickly moved from the pile of people that I'm willing to help to the pile of people I wouldn't piss on if you're on fire.
All right. I'm glad we know boundaries.
We have a boundary here.
Also, copy and pasting the same thing into a support ticket 3 separate times is not answering a question or helpful.
I love you, Travis. You're the best. You are the person that I don't want to upset, mostly because you're so darn even keeled that I would fear your rage greatly.
Oh, Steven, what's the quote that you always bring up? You're like,
I love it. The wise man's fear. Yeah, the wise man. There are 3 things all wise men fear: sea and storm, a night with no moon, and the anger of a gentleman. Love that. I love that. That's Patrick Rothfuss. Yeah, The Wise Man's Fear is the name of the book. And it's fantastic. And it's one of the few quotes in a book ever that I have memorized because it was just so glorious. I wanted to keep that one tucked away. It's been a day, been a year, been a week. But hey, we're all here. And I want to let you know, Travis, that I'm only billing you at a minimum rate for the therapy. That this show is to you. So you can expect that coming soon.
And we'll dock it from your paycheck for this.
That's okay. Yeah. Right. We're just going to go ahead and take it out of your paycheck. But unfortunately, it's your entire paycheck. So.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Okay. Just to make sure, you know, nothing changes.
As long as you take it out pre-tax, I'm fine.
Yeah,
definitely. We'll do it pre-tax, post-tax. We'll do it whatever you want.
There we go. Sure.
You just tell me. That stimulus check thing was weird because I think I looked at my bank account like the 28th and it was pending. And it was like, it'll be available on the 4th. I'm like, okay. The thing that upsets me about the stimulus checks is like they're going by last year's tax returns, which means people were working last year and making X amount of dollars. If you got laid off in March of this year, you've made it almost a full remainder of the year. Was it 9 months on unemployment? And you're going to get potentially no money because of what you made last year. And it kind of, to me, that's kind of jacked up for one thing. I feel like they should use unemployment as the barometer to whether you get more money. Like, are you on an unemployment? Here's money. Do you have a job and you've been paying your house bills and your credit card bills and everything else bills? No, don't give me money. I don't need the money. I'm fine. I have a job. I've got my house payments getting made. I don't need your cash, government. Other people need your cash. Increase the amount and give it to people who are actually suffering. And I understand there's a lot of people who are like, well, I'll invest this and it'll grow the economy. Well, you investing it isn't giving Jim Bob a job. It's just buying you a new PlayStation. And you know, for what it's worth, I'm glad you got a PlayStation. I hope you're happy that you were able to get one because your stimulus money came in. But I just don't see the point in giving people in a stable financial space a bunch more money when there's people out there who are like, we're talking about food banks being overrun with people who've never had to go to one before. And yep. they're just like, we'll give you cash along with all the other people who make less than 120 grand a year. It's like 120 grand a year is still a lot of money. Like, if you're making that this year, you're doing pretty good.
250 grand married.
I thought it was 75 single, 120 married. Is it different than that?
I think that's what it was.
Okay. No,
I thought it was more than that. I thought it was 150.
But just to clarify, we're talking about like just normal people and not corporate taxes and stuff like that, right? The whole, you know, people that already have money getting more money.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just checking.
But yeah, I don't know. Even my dad, like who is, you know, he's an R word in most cases. But I was talking to him about, I was like, God, probably get a stupid stimulus check I don't need. He's like, yeah, they should give that to like people who are unemployment. I don't know why they're giving it to people like you and me. I'm like, oh my word, did we just agree on a social program? What just happened? Are you using logic and common sense? I mean, if he gets his check, he's going to be like, boom, boom, stock market, baby. And I mean, that's fine. It's your right. Once it's your money, it's your right to do what you want. I'm not going to judge you for it. I don't think it should have gone to people well off in the first place. I would rather see a larger amount to a fewer amount of people. That makes sense. But we're not here to worry over Steven's completely arbitrary financial ideas, because I'm not good with money anyway. I don't like numbers. I'm afraid of it. I just make sure I have X amount in my bank at all times if I can. And that's
so, Steven, here's the qualifications.
Okay.
So it's single filer is 75,000. Head of household is 112,500. Married filing jointly, that was 150. And that was for the first round of stimulus. For the second round of stimulus, it was 87,000 for individuals or 174,000 for couples filing jointly.
Good Lord. Okay.
So if you make 187,000 in your household, you got the full stimulus.
You got the full thing plus $600 a kid.
Plus $600 a kid, yeah. Except for me, because we had a kid this year, so we get no money.
You get nothing because they don't IRS. They don't know about it.
You didn't have a kid last year.
They didn't know about it. But
I think they're stupid.
Yeah, I think there's something written in the IRS tax code that says that I could take it off of my taxes next year or something. I don't know. I'm going to have to figure that out here in about a month.
What do you want to How do you want to be one of the temporary H&R Block employees this year?
Oh, cool.
There is not enough money available to get me to do that job ever, let alone this year.
I don't even like doing my own taxes.
No, I ain't doing someone else's taxes.
I got a buddy who has a lot of real estate now, and he's currently reading a book about 5 inches thick about real estate tax law. Because he's gone into rental property management. I'm like, good luck with that. I'm sure that extra $75 a month you're getting after paying the mortgage and splitting it with your five buddies is really working out. But hey, you know, it depends on what you do with it. Let's get into some news, guys. California hospital administers more than 800 vaccine doses in 2 hours after the freezer breaks. Vaccine go vroom when there's an imminent deadline. So, because vaccine rollout's been really slow, but daggone it, you turn the freezer off and we're going to figure out how to make that happen. The executive team at Mendocino County's Adventist Health Ukiah Valley Medical Center was notified during a safety inspection Monday morning that a freezer was found to be at room temperature. This comes from Judson Howe of Adventist Health. The alarm was supposed to alert staff of the temperature change. Had also malfunctioned. I know that feeling. We've got alerts on this. Oh, well, they didn't fire. Oh, shoot. Hospital officials contacted Moderna but did not hear back. So the hospital decided to race the clock and administer the vaccines. Good move. Howe said it was our main focus to make sure that we got every single vaccine into every arm. We reached out to the county health, public health officer, informed them of the situation, and with a collaborative approach, we were able to administer all 830 vaccines in a matter of 2 hours. About 200 doses went to the county to administer, 70 went to skilled nursing facilities, and the rest went through 4 clinics prioritized by the state guidelines. The emergency was all hands on deck, says Dr. Besant Parker. That's how I'm going to pronounce her name. And he too was running around to help coordinate the process. Judson House said, the reality is we were presented with a tough situation and we weren't going to let any vaccine go to waste. To which I applaud you, folks.
Yes.
Well done. Well done.
This now deserves the gold star for the week.
It does. It does. This is the gold star feel good story. Now do that again, but don't break a freezer because we got lots of people who need vaccines. And when I hear things like 80 people in a county have got it, that's slow. We're on a clock here, y'all. Get moving. To which I've heard everybody blaming everybody about why it's slow, but I'll let them fight that out. Just strap the blades to their little chicken legs and let them go at it. I don't know. That's a reference to cockfighting. If you didn't know.
By the way, this story proves that if you're faced with a difficult situation, these first line responders are really doing fantastic work. I mean, they're trying desperately to make it happen. And this is one of those stories that says, yes, these guys are making it happen, which is just a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Now, the next story is not about making it happen. It's the opposite of it. The Wisconsin pharmacist accused of trying to destroy COVID vaccine. A pharmacist is accused of trying to destroy hundreds of doses of coronavirus vaccine. He is apparently a conspiracy theorist who believes the medication was unsafe. Police in Grafton arrested Stephen Brandenburg, a pharmacist with Aurora Health, on Thursday after 57 of the Moderna vaccine, the vials of the vaccine appeared to have been spoiled. He said that the police said that they had took the doses out of the refrigerator and left them out for over 12 hours, rendering them useless. Each vial contained 10 doses. In total, the material is worth this amount of money, basically 600 doses is what it ultimately amounted to. Brandenburg is an admitted conspiracy theorist, and he told investigators that he believed that the COVID-19 vaccine was not safe for people and could harm them and change their DNA. He admitted that this was an intentional act in the probable cause statement. He was initially booked on suspicion of reckless endangerment of safety, adultering a prescription drug, and criminal damage to property.
So the pharmacy board should immediately take his license and never let him practice again. Because the mere thought that he thought that this could change a human being's DNA after all that research that was put into it is obscene. I was talking to Stephanie about this because she is a pharmacist. And she was like, he deserves all the jail time. Like, this is, we're entrusted. She was real big on it because she's like, I'm entrusted with the public health to put things into people's bodies and verify that these things are okay to ingest. Like, it's my job to make sure that anything I give someone as a pharmacist is not going to kill them or is going to do what it's supposed to do, do its job. And he broke that oath, that thing that they're supposed to do. And it's gross, and it's, yeah, I don't know if there's an equivalent in any other position for it, but it's just bad news.
Very much so. I agree. Yeah.
I mean, look at what we do to lawyers who punish confidentiality type of things, or doctors who violate the Hippocratic Oath. I mean, it's you disbar them. You tell them that they can no longer practice medicine. They can no longer practice law. I mean, this person should have their livelihood taken away from them. They should not be able to practice pharmacy anymore because this is a clear violation of an oath that they took. Period. Yeah. End of discussion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On a lighter note and some good news, Michigan business installs ice shanties for outdoor dining. So a Michigan bed and breakfast, my home state, and actually just a few miles away from me, has built 5 ice shanties, which, for those of you that don't know, are structures favored by ice fishermen. I love that they had to put that in the article, but yeah, it makes sense. If you've never ice fished before, it's just a little structure. To allow the business to continue to serve food amid the COVID-19 pandemic. The Little Travers Inn in Leelanau County said that the 5 shanties, which cost a total of $25,000 and were designed and decorated by local artists, have allowed the business to continue outdoor dining despite the winter temperatures. Graham Lesk, owner and chef of the Little Travers Inn, said he and his employees came up with the idea for the shanties during the summer when indoor dining was suspended due to the pandemic. What's more northern Michigan than ice shanties? So we built them, and here we are. Each of the shanties contains a private dining room for up to 6 people. He said that opening the shanties in December led to an influx of reservations and allowed the business to bring its employees back to work. Fortunately, with the shanties open now, we've managed to bring four people back to work and hire somebody. That's wonderful, and I thank everybody for their support of this local business. And it's great. It's not the only place I've seen do that. There's a few spots in downtown Traverse City where I live that have little outdoor shanties too, that they've set up. And a couple of places that did it actually last year I saw, because they're like an outdoor type venue during the summer. So they set up these shanties to be able to continue to work through the winter anyway, but we're seeing more of that this year, and it's great. I mean, if there's a lockdown or a restriction of how many people can be, and you can section them off and say you can have up to six people in one of these little shacks, go for it. We'll bring you food, and they're doing everything right. I love it. I like this story. This was great. And this is probably a 15-minute drive from my house.
Oh, that's great. You're gonna have to give us the
go ahead.
Oh, go ahead, Jacob. Sorry. No, you go ahead.
I was thinking I gave this to Travis because it's Michigan too. It's Upper Michigan. I'm like, oh yeah, this is all Travis all day long. Mm-hmm. And the only question I have is, are they actually on a lake? Because that would make it even better that they could dine, they could eat, have wonderful food brought to them, they could fish, they could do whatever they want to over there.
They could be on a lake. They're actually in their parking lot, but they are right next to. I mean, you can't swing a dead cat around here without hitting a body of water. But they are literally right next to a lake, and it wouldn't surprise me if somebody at least thought about setting up some shanties like right off the shore on the ice.
We've had
a rather mild winter, so the ice isn't as thick on a lot of the lakes as you would want.
Yeah,
the owner's going to be like, yeah, we'll put it over there on the ice for you, and we'll have sure. One of the waitresses or waiters roller skate or ice skate out to you and deliver your food.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, I just awesome. Thought that was a great story. And that's just really cool. And that shows that just because there are restrictions on things like indoor dining doesn't mean that a local business can't figure out some way to work, right? And this was a way to do that. And it cost him some money, but now he can bring his people back. And hey, you know, he's probably getting gangbusters business for this because, you know, news travels fast in an area like this. And I know a lot of people that would head out that way just to have a dinner out somewhere where they can go and sit down and do it safely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shoot, Tiger, fire up the truck. Let's drive up to Michigan.
Hey, what you doing this weekend?
Well, looks like I'm getting in your truck. We're driving up to Michigan. Hang out with Travis. Michigan.
I've always wanted
to ice fish.
I'm telling you what, I bet I could fill up the truck with enough gas tanks to not have to stop the entire way.
Man, even got to stop and pee. We'll just pee in a bucket and shoot it out the truck door.
Yeah, that's right.
Splash. Once we get to Michigan, it'll freeze on the way out.
It'll freeze on somebody's windshield when we throw it out the window.
Oh, you make that joke, but that was every cross-country and track trip I ever was on. As a team, we would not want to stop because we get done with the meet. We just want to go home. Mm-hmm. Sure. So, you know, we'd be driving along and the coach is like, hey, does anybody need to stop? And we're like, nope. We're all good. Just a Gatorade bottle getting passed around back there.
Gross. Oh, that's amazing. That's terrible.
It's terrible, but amazing.
Yeah, it's all at the same time. You got to do what you got to do. I had a buddy who drove to Alaska once, and he really wanted his Mountain Dews cold, so he strapped them to the front of his truck on the brush guard. And anytime he wanted to get one, he would pull over and get out and get his Mountain Dew and get back in the truck. You do what you have to do.
That is fantastic.
Steven, hold on. Wait. Were you related to this person?
No, I wasn't. I don't know anybody outside of Stephanie who's ever been to Alaska, and she flew. So this was a drive. Sounds like a great drive. I'd love to do that one of these days.
My father rode a motorcycle from
here
to Alaska. He actually drove up through your way. I think he went through... Thunder Bay is where he crossed over into Canada, and then he drove all the way across Canada in the, I think, a transatlantic highway or whatever it is up there, and then drove straight into Alaska that way.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah. What a cool trip. Some more feel good / not feel good story coming at you. I'm not really sure how to feel about this one right now. Inflatable Christmas tree costume linked to 44 COVID-19 infections and one death at a California hospital. There's a reason I said it's kind of feel good, but kind of bad, and I'll get to it. An air-powered inflatable Christmas tree costume worn by a staffer at a California hospital could be linked to an outbreak that infected more than 40 people, killing one. Kaiser Permanente San Jose Medical Center said the staffer wore the costume, which included a fan that could have spread infected droplets through the air in the emergency department on Christmas Day. The infections were reported from December 27th to January 1st. One of the doctors there said, using our infection-proven protocols, we're investigating the outbreak and using contact tracing to personally notify and test any staff or patient who were exposed. The tragedy, and the kind of feel-good part about it to me, which those are obviously opposite, but the dude was trying to spread some Christmas cheer. If you read this article about it, the hospital's basically trying to defend him in the sense that what he wanted to do was pure and sweet and kind. What it resulted in is really bad. And I have a lot of sympathy for these stories because I figure I can see myself in them. I don't know why, but I can see, like, I'm going to go make people happy. And then, like, the whole place blows up. And I would be like, well, I'm a dirtbag. And so I feel for this person who, out of the goodness of their heart, was like, you know what? This year has sucked. And I'm going to spread some Christmas cheer with my big inflatable Christmas tree costume. And it just happened, man. It just happened. And Ace Fury's right. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. But no, yeah, no good deed, such and such. But yeah, he made a mistake and people got sick. And the costumes themselves weren't a problem, but the fan clearly was. Droplets are what spreads this disease. We've talked about it before, but buildings with proper ventilation and HEPA filters do a better job of keeping people from getting sick than 1960s POS AC systems that have never been cleaned. It's just
right. It's
part of it. The air droplets are a big deal. So they've said I don't know that they're going to fire or deal with the person in a negative fashion. It sounded to me from the article that they were going to keep him around, that it was just a whoopsie. This is bad news and terrible, but because of the motivation behind it, you don't get fired and, you know, thrown out the window. I don't know how to feel about that. I guess that feels good to me. Because some things happened and you made a mistake, but I don't know. I'm not going to get into it. It's a tough one.
Yeah, it is. He showed up to the party with balloons, but they were filled with hydrogen, not helium, and he didn't know.
Right. So the whole building exploded and killed everyone. And
You make a good point. What do you do about it? I mean, if the hospital staff had seen it and been like, get out of here, and he refused, that would feel different.
Yeah.
But nobody did. I don't know who the fault lies with.
So Og brings up a great point in chat. He's probably the type of person that will beat himself up more than anyone else could possibly do it. If he's the guy to guy that does this kind of thing out of good intentions because he wants to just put a smile on somebody's face, knowing that he gave 44 people COVID and one person died, he's probably kicking himself in the ass every day.
Oh, yeah.
I bet he is. Fun fact, I've never been grounded before. My entire childhood life. Never grounded, not a once. You know why I wasn't grounded? Because I would torture myself. My mom would be like, you just beat yourself up all the time. We didn't have to ground you. You would go back to your room and just sit. Like, good. That's solid. I'm okay with it. Some people.
Well, speaking of being grounded, right now we are grounded because we can't travel. However, next year, if you want to travel, you may need a coronavirus vaccine passport.
Mark of the Beast. I'm sorry. I don't know. That just came out. My beast.
No, this article is kind of interesting because now that the coronavirus vaccines have started rolling out both here and abroad, many people are dreaming of the day that they can go to the movies and shop again and travel and do all of these things. But in order to do this, you're going to eventually have to prove that you've either had a vaccine or that you're coronavirus negative, right? And so several companies and technology groups have begun developing these smartphone apps and systems for individuals to upload details of COVID-19 tests and vaccinations, basically creating digital credentials that could be shown in order to gain access to concerts or stadiums or movie theaters or to travel or to do any of those things. There's a Common Pass app created by a nonprofit group that allows users to upload medical data such as COVID-19 test results or eventually proof of vaccinations by hospitals or medical professionals, basically generating a health certificate or a pass in the form of a QR code that could be shown to authorities, thus without revealing sensitive information. For travel, the app lists health pass requirements at the point of departure and arrival based on the itinerary. So basically, you know what's required for each place that you go. You could be tested every time you cross the border. You cannot be vaccinated every time you cross the border. However, blah, 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 blah. Creates a digital yellow card. Large companies like IBM are starting to develop their own app. Theirs is called Digital Health Pass, which allows companies to customize indicators that would allow or that are required for entry, including coronavirus tests, temperature checks, vaccination records, etc. So bottom line is they're trying to create these digital footprints or digital tracers such that we aren't violating the PHI or GDPR. GDPR
is the reason that we all have to click accept all cookies every time we browse the internet now.
Yeah. But it's also got a lot of health information in that as
every
well.
Time.
So yeah, I think they're trying to avoid violating any kind of personal information being leaked. So yeah, I mean, I could definitely see this as being a plausible thing where you have to say, yes, I've been vaccinated. Here's my QR code.
And the thing is, if you travel abroad now, you have to get vaccinated for certain things if you travel abroad.
Absolutely.
So this isn't a new thing to have to do that. This would just be an extension of that same philosophy, right?
What's the potential for faking this, though? Like, if I have my digital health pass app on my phone and I screenshot my QR code and I send it to you and it doesn't have any identifiable information on it other than I'm vaccinated and you scan it, what happens? You're impersonating me, but how does anyone know? Or would it be take a picture of yourself and it pairs with the QR code and some sort of data is ran against it and... this is what happens. We talked about this.
And maybe it might be linked to a passport. I don't know. Maybe it might be actually linked to your passport.
I don't disagree with this.
Sure. There will be people that will try to get around it and people that will work super hard because it will be a lucrative thing to be able to get around that. Yeah. But that's no different than fake IDs already. So
you're right.
It's like the University of Illinois, the way they handle their COVID, the COVID on their campus. They require everybody to get tested twice a week. And with a COVID negative test, they gain access to the buildings and to dorms and to everything else that they need to get access to. And the way they do that is through an app, right? Mm-hmm. And the first thing that students did was figure out a way to fake the app's output such that, one, they didn't have to get tested because they were sick and tired of getting tested and having swabs shoved up their nose. And number two, it was a time sink, right? So they wanted to avoid it. So what did they do? They worked around it and figured out a way to auto-generate the QR code to let them into the buildings. Yeah. It's going to happen if we put these controls in place.
And I feel like we talked about this back in like early days of the show. We talked about the fact that we would need some sort of vaccine app or some sort of thing to carry around to say we've had it in order to make concerts safe, mm-hmm. or to make air travel safe, to make all these places where we want to gather in a mass, to make Dragon Con safe. I mean, Dragon Con's a street and a handful of hotels, but you could potentially make it a thing. It would make lines ridiculous, but it might be the answer to gatherings, not just reopening. Like, I'm sure masks and 6 feet, but you can't afford to run a venue for music with 6 feet space between everybody. It's just not a thing that can happen. I think it's cool.
It's like having NFL games with 25% of the capacity filled where there's just throngs of seats that are empty.
The energy is not there that's required.
It's just not the same.
Yeah, it's not the same.
It's not. The states have been calling in the National Guard and training volunteers to help boost vaccination pace as U.S. hits a COVID-19 daily death toll record. We're going to end on a bit of a downer. Sorry.
Thanks, Jacob.
U.S. The U.S. reported its highest daily COVID-19 death count ever Tuesday, a grim milestone that comes as state leaders work to urgently combat a slow pace of vaccinations. More than 3,770 American deaths were reported in one day, more than two dozen above the country's previous record set less than a week ago. So, yikes. The country also topped 21 million infections Tuesday and set a hospitalization record with more than 131,100 COVID-19 hospitalized patients nationwide, according to the COVID Tracking Project. The federal government's Operation Warp Speed said it distributed more than 3 million vaccines on Tuesday, bringing the U.S. total of distributed vaccines to more than 19 million. Earlier Tuesday, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention data showed 17 million doses had been distributed and more than 4.8 million had been administered. That means only about 28% of the distributed doses so far have been administered. So some sobering numbers there.
Yeah. I did want to bring up, too, because my mom called me specifically to tell me this. She was like, I want you to know that I just got tired, but one of my coworkers had a lot of nausea, and then she had an immune-compromised coworker that got it, and that coworker had full-on body aches for a couple days and was very uncomfortable. Short aside, just to update everybody on the known effects of normal people that have had this done. But those are the only things she had learned from anyone. Anyone else in her department that got it. So,
yeah, we had a group of, I don't know, 300 or so vaccinated in our building because we do a lot of the development of different tests for COVID and very mild symptoms of just some headaches and just some lethargy, but that was about it. So, nothing major, no major side effects that I've heard of.
Where are we at on the Oxford AstraZeneca one for the U.S.? So the U.K. just approved that one for use, right? But I know that we're a little occupied with other events over here. But I think the FDA still operates like the FDA operates. So have you heard anything on that front?
I haven't. I know that the UK rolled it out, was it last week or the week before, and they've got enough for a whole bunch of people. I think, I can't even remember how many vaccines they have. I think it was like 50 million of the Oxford AstraZeneca one. But as far as the US is concerned, I'm not sure exactly. I do know that you could store it in a little bit better refrigerated conditions. That's one thing. It is a protein-based one, but from what I understand, it does not work as effectively. Last I saw the data, it was around 80% efficacy, which is nowhere near the 95%+ that I think the two mRNA ones are presenting with. So it would be an interesting... It would be interesting to see them approve that in light of the two vaccines that are already approved.
Gotcha.
It wouldn't shock me if we didn't try to figure out a way to get this into kids earlier or sooner because it is that protein based.
Yeah, that was my thing. I know that protein based is decades of research that we're more comfortable with children getting. Whereas this other one, we're like, well, if it does any damage, maybe it'll take 30 years to do, and most of you will be ready to die. It's just an approach. You can take that. It's like asbestos. It's like, well, you're 40. You just got into asbestos. You'll get lung cancer around 75. That's all right.
Fine. Your lungs won't be working by then anyway.
Yeah, you had a good run. You're good. You're fine.
Well, and that will actually be something I do next week then is to really look at the Oxford AstraZeneca one. And I really, to be 100% honest, guys, I just have not looked at the data like I should have. So I can spend some time this week and dive into the data and really understand what that looks like this week. Because there's got to be some public data out there, especially relative to the UK and them actually approving this. So I'm sure I can probably find somewhere that I can gain access to that data and pull it.
And Og was asking which one is better for the kids, and we keep saying protein based. The mRNA one is just a different mechanism for generating the spike protein that your immune system uses to identify the virus. So mRNA tells your cells to make it, Whereas the protein based one, when we refer to that, we're referring to one that's like a dead virus or the protein sheath or the spike protein or whatever that we put in your body that's dormant. That's like a layman's term probably, but it doesn't do anything.
It's not dormant. It is non-active, period.
Yeah. Well, dormant,
non-active. It has no possibility of becoming active.
Gotcha. Which dormant, you know, doesn't mean that. So thank you, Jacob. But yeah, it causes your immune system to have the same response. One makes your body make it. The other one is the thing.
Yeah. Your body's basically, you inject yourself with a protein. The protein your body recognizes and goes, oh, that's not right. And then I'm going to create antibodies to try to prevent you from getting sick. And so that's the mechanism that the protein-based one. The mRNA one basically is you inject yourself with an mRNA and your cells go, ooh, I'm going to make this protein now. And so it makes the protein and your body's attack that protein and go, ooh, that protein's not quite right. So I'm going to make an antibody. So it's just a different mechanism of actually making antibodies. So,
yeah, it's cool. It's interesting, the efficacy stuff, though.
And which one is better for kids? We don't know. I mean, the bottom line is the mRNA one has never been tested in kids. It has never been approved through the FDA until this emergency use authorization was granted. So we have absolutely zero data in anybody under 16, and we have very limited data on anybody from 16 to 18. So we just don't know if the mRNA ones are going to operate in the same way in kids as they behave in adults. The protein-based ones, the reason why we're a little bit more, receptive is a good word to use there for kids and using that vaccination, is because kids get flu vaccines all the time. Hell, Tater Tot got his first flu vaccine in October and November, the booster. It's basically injecting a protein into his body, and his body created antibodies, and he didn't get the flu.
Yeah, one is a known, anyway,
because he's not, you know, around anyone to get the flu. But right. But yes, there's 30, 40 years, decades worth of research and decades worth of injecting this type of vaccine into kids and adults. So
yeah, it's a known quantity what types of effects you can expect for that. The mRNA, we just don't know enough about it yet to be able to say one way or the other.
And but we that's know, not to say that it's dangerous. We've got 20 plus years of research on mRNA. I mean, it's not like we just made it up and put it out there. It's just,
right.
Correct.
You got to do.
We don't have the same amount of. We don't have the same amount of data that we do for a protein based one.
Right. Right.
Well, and Stephen, I do want to be cautious. We do have 20 years of research on the mRNA vaccine. Sorry. And just doing general research on a vaccine is different than commercially applying that vaccine. So when hundreds of millions of people get a vaccine every year, that's different than zero people getting a vaccine and research being done either on a small scale clinical study and or in a in vitro situation that's more of an animal based situation. So we do have a lot of information, but I'm not sure that we have the vast or the sheer quantities of information that we have on the protein based one. But I do take your point. I think it's a great point to make so that everybody understands we have been working on this for a long time. So it's not something that's just, you know, oh yes, the last 6 months we just whipped it out. I mean,
we dreamed it up.
The scientists did have some forethought here.
Yeah, we came up with it and now we have it. It takes more time than that, but so that's the news, that's our thoughts, that's our stuff. I don't know, do you guys have a deep dive topic or do we dive pretty deep as it is?
I think we dove pretty deep. I'm depressed that we didn't get any mail.
Yeah, what's Trav, up guys,
no, get any no voicemails? No one called.
Nobody's jokers calling.
I know.
In voicemail.
You can. I mean, we've got that number. People.
What's that number, Travis?
That number is 231-486-5401. 231-486-5401. Call us up. Leave us a message. Let us know if you like what we're talking about. If you don't like what we're talking about, if you think we're a bunch of dum-dums, or, you know, put us on a pedestal and tell us how great we are. It really. Any of those things is fine with me.
Call and tell us how your freedoms are being obstructed. I'd love to hear more about your freedoms. Yeah. I definitely want to engage lots with people's freedoms, expectations. We can get into that in another show. But yeah, this has been fun. It's been a worthy distraction from today's events. If you're out there, stay safe, be cool to each other. Whether the government mandates you to wear a mask or not, dude, there's a basic human contract to watch out for your neighbor. And that's everybody. Just be cool to them and do your thing. And let's stop breaking windows and acting foolish. We can come to better conclusions about how to make change than that. But that's all I'm going to say about it. I hope everybody has a wonderful, wonderful week. We're going to leave you this with a request. Review the show. Give us some stars there if you like it, if you like what's going on. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm Steve H&H. Travis is TV's Travis. And Jacob is the only one with sense enough to not be on any social network. You can, if you want to reach him, you can go through me. Staring underscore goats is our other Twitter account. If you want to shoot us questions or whatever, we have that. And if you want to support the show, twodorks.net/support is how you do it. I want to thank the patrons and the subs and the people who toss bits at us, because we now own twodorks.tv. That's pretty cool. If you go to twodorks.tv, you show up at our Twitch channel. It's just straight up forward, but it's still pretty nifty. It's easier than saying twitch.tv/twodorksTV. Now you can tell grandma, just go to twodorks.tv, and they're like, oh, that's easy to remember. Is that twodorkstv.com? And then you're like, okay, never mind. It's all broken. This entire system needs work. But yeah, you can do it. It's fun stuff. Thanks to our patrons, Hammer Dwarf Og, Adam and Christina of Geekheim, and Oddly Normal One, and our parents. Thanks to Charles and Jewel for upping their subscription in the last month by $5. You are now in an epic tier of the $10
tier.
Yep, of giving us a little extra cash. So super, super thank you to that. They'll never listen to this, but I can tell them in person. And that's it, man. That's Staring Goats. Y'all hang in there, and we will see you next week right here. Boop, boop, bye.
Bye. Ah! Ah!
Ah! Man.